Blog Talk Radio. Going to chapter 20. So a lot of word this morning. And I am going to say good morning to Mother Valerie. Good morning, Mother Valerie. You were missed last night.
Good morning, Pastor. Thank you.
Hallelujah. What a day, what a day. What a beautiful, I just can't say it enough. It is a beautiful day. You know, there's a little bit of, I call it heavenly frost on the ground, but it's supposed to get, I believe, quite warm today, actually. But for those that joined us yesterday, yes, about 36, and it's going to get up to the 50s today with a partly sunny sky. And next week, we're going to get up to the 70s. Look at God. Won't he do it? The grass is going to be green before you know it. But anyway, today I have a word. Again, yesterday was my mother's birthday. Shout out to my mom. And for a young lady that goes to my church named Bridget, her name is Bridget also. Shout out to Bridget Finn as well. I hope they both had great birthdays. But I would like to go into the word that God gave me for this morning. It's called restraint. Put your sword back in its place. Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Matthew 26, verses 52 through 53 NIV. And we have read that. It is when Jesus was being betrayed by Judas. And Peter cut off the ear of one of the soldiers. Cut his ear off. And Jesus took the ear and put it back on. Come on now. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. And he had to tell Peter, you know, when you draw that sword, you can die by that sword. And I like to say that the sword is also the tongue. If you pull out the, if you let this tongue go to wagging and you go to talking about this person and that person, understand that same sword can be used against you. So we have to be very careful that we don't go and get caught up in the gossip and in the putting people down and saying things we shouldn't say. We got to be careful of this sword, because as Jesus said to Peter, who was using a real sword, but he also always spoke in parables, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father? Hallelujah. And he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels. And our prayer for this morning as we get ready to go forth is, Lord, when I am quick to react, even to injustices, would you give me a heart of discernment to remain true to your kingdom ways? As I walk with you, meditating on your word, may I become more like you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are not a bully. You never took anything by force or by demanding attention. Everything you did was done with respect for people's humanity and dignity, even when you challenged them. Lord, when I feel a gut reaction happening, help me to run into a place of peace. Feel my mind. We got to ask God to feel our mind. Feel my mind. Your words that bring clarity, not confusion. May I be a harbinger of your peace that brings calm to chaos. Let me not be swept up in the passion of the moment, but may I remain steady in your love. And when I mess up, may I be quick to ask for forgiveness and even quicker to forgive those around me. Thank you for your grace that empowers and enables me to become more like you. And the question for this morning is, are you trying to do for God through force what he could do on his own, but choose not to? Think on that word. Father God, again, we come to you humbly, coming before you, asking you, Lord God, to forgive us of all sins, sins thought, sins spoken, sins that have not been committed. Father God, we ask forgiveness. We repent this morning. We repent for this tongue. We repent for our hearts that may not be right with you, God. We repent of anything and everything, God, known and unknown. In the name of Jesus, before we go forth with your word, God, we ask you to give us clean hearts and right spirits within us. Clean us with hyssop, Lord God. Can be used by you for your glory, God. In the name of Christ Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've made. We are rejoicing in it, God. And we're asking you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Father God, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are our redeemed. And as the word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We say so, Lord. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We are covered from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet with his grace and with his love. So, Father God, as we look up, lift up, giving you honor, glory, and praise, we say thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this mighty word. May it touch someone's heart, mind, and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Please join us in the book of Leviticus, starting in chapter 15. And many of you know when we get to certain words, you hear it being spoken now. You have folks that want to go to the Old Testament on some things, but then run back to the New Testament. The Word of God is true, whether it's old or whether it's new. The only thing that changes that we don't have to have an unblemished calf, ram, lamb, turtle, doves, pigeons, and we don't have to stone folks. We don't have to have an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We don't have to be beating folks up. We don't have to kill people. You know, even in the old, in the New Testament, they was wanting to stone folks. And depending on what country you go to, they still stoning folks today. But we want to have a different kind of atmosphere and a different kind of life. We don't want people being stoned because somebody decided that they were more sinful than themselves. And as we go into this word of God, we're going to see some things. But again, the same thing that's written in the Old Testament is also in the New Testament when it comes to sexual sin and sin in general. And what we see in this word is for a purpose and a reason. And we have to know that, again, God is in charge of everything. Say it with me. God is in charge of everything. God is in charge, not me, not Mother Valerie, but God. And when we put it in that respect, we know that everything that God put in place, children of Israel, as they traveled in the wilderness, is the thing that we can look at and know that it's still in place. We know that God told us about cleanliness. He told us about leprosy. And leprosy is not a disease of this century, but there are places where leprosy still happens. But the word of God is telling us what to do. And so we need to go to the word. Again, we got to learn how to take it to the throne and not the phone. Too many folks are taking things to the phone and causing confusion in the body of Christ. And we need to start taking it to God and leaving it there, not running to this one and that one and creating confusion. You know, God is speaking to us today. We've got to be a unified body, because the enemy is busy. The enemy is very busy. So the higher you go, the more snakes are coming after you. So understand that. We've got to get in order. And as we get in order, we've got to stand on the word of God, because God's word is true, not sometimes, but all the time. And then the word of God, he spoke to Moses. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge, come on now, from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanliness in regard to his discharge, whether his body runs with his discharge or his body is stopped up by his discharge. It is his uncleanliness. Every bed is unclean on which he who has the discharge lies, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything on which he who has the discharge set shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And he who touches the body of him who has the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If he who has the discharge spits on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Any saddle on which he who has the discharge rides shall be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whomever the one who has the discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. The vessel of earth that he who has the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed from his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, and bathe his body in running water. Then he shall be clean. On the eighth day, he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and give them to the priest. Then the priest shall offer them, the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because he has discharged, because of his discharge. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall wash off his body in water and be unclean until evening. And any garment and any leather on which there is semen, it shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. Also, when a woman lies with a man, and there is an emission of semen, they shall bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Come on now, it's all in the book. You know, there are some that will be putting their hands over their children's ears because of this word. But this word is true. God is giving you a blueprint of cleanliness. You know, when you go to the restroom, come on now, discharge, you got to clean up and wash yourself. Come on. You know, he's telling us what to do, how to be clean in everything. And he's letting you know that after you have intercourse, you are supposed to wash up. Come on now. Just common sense stuff. God is speaking it. And now he's talking to the woman. He's told us about the man. And then he's talking to us about the couple. And now he's telling us about the woman. And he says, if a woman has a discharge, and the discharge from her body is blood. Come on. We're talking the menses. She shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean, and everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sits on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If anything is on her bed or on anything on which she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lies with her at all, so that her impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days. And every bed on which she lies shall be unclean. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And whatever she sits on shall be unclean as uncleanliness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And when I read this, I thought about the woman with the issue of blood, how she was unclean for 12 years. Couldn't go anywhere, couldn't sit anywhere, couldn't be around anybody, because anybody she was around was considered unclean. The hem of Christ's garment, she actually was making Jesus unclean. But because he is pure, because he is holy, because he is all things to all people, he healed her immediately of her impurity. And because of her faith, he made her well. Come on now. Because of who he is, he was the sacrifice. He took all her uncleanliness and made her whole. And it says, but if she cleansed of her discharge, then she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day, she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then the priest shall offer the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the discharge of her uncleanliness. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, lest they die in their uncleanliness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. For one who has discharge and for him who emits semen is unclean. Thereby, and for her who am indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for one who has a discharge, either man or woman, and for him who lies with her who is unclean. And it tells us up here in this chapter, chapter 15, verse 31, you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness. We may wonder at all of the rules and regulations given to Moses, but it comes down to this. Will we trust God that he knows best even when something makes no sense to us? Woo! Hallelujah. Will we trust God? Will you trust God this morning? Will you believe this morning? Will you take it to the next level with God this morning? Hallelujah. And chapter 16 tells us, now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the 2 sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come anytime into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with the linen sash and with the linen turban. He shall be attired. There are holy garments. Therefore, these are holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his body in water and put them on, and he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats as sin offering and 1 ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to take atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the seat the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar, and he shall release the goat as the scapegoat, shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the field their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever, and the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year, as he did, as the Lord commanded Moses. And as we go back to chapter 16, for a couple of life lessons and what the Bible says, just a little small history lesson. And it says in Leviticus 16:2, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, lest he die. It is a holy thing to come into the presence of the Lord. We should never treat it casually or flippantly, as Aaron learned. We can't go before God just any, you know, just any old way. We got to give God reverence. That's why when you go into the church and you go to that altar, you go to that altar with a heart open for God, ready for God. We've got to understand that it is a holy place and that when we go in with reverence. You know, we don't bring foolishness into God's house. And we dare not go up to that altar without giving God reverence first. Hallelujah. We give God reverence and praise. And as we go into this, it says the cover up. The Old Testament uses an interesting word, atonement, in connection with the forgiveness of God. Leviticus tells sinful Hebrews to bring a guilt offering to the priest who shall make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall be forgiven of any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses. And we know in the Lord's Prayer, if we ask God to forgive us our trespasses, because we want to forgive those that have trespassed against us. So we have to forgive. And it said it also describes the Day of Atonement, known today as Yom Kippur. God told the Hebrews, on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Atonement means to cover. It is the same Hebrew word translated to coat in Genesis 6 and 14, where God instructs Noah how to build the ark. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. While the sacrificial system functioned adequately for a time, it was temporary in nature. Y'all caught that, right? The sins of those living under the Levitical system were covered but not forgiven in the absolute sense. Why? Because the blood of animals can never pay the whole debt incurred by sinners. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. But it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Hebrews 10, 3 and 4. And God's sin creates a deficit. Whenever sin occurs, something is taken or demanded from the sinner. Ultimately, God requires death as payment for sin. So Paul writes, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin, Romans 5 and 12. So if the penalty for sin is death, then why did God not immediately snuff out the lives of Adam and Eve? Did he not say that on that day they sinned, they would surely die? Genesis 2 and 17. Why does he not do the same for all sinners? Why provide a system through which fellowship could be restored if sin ultimately results in death? The answer is simple, yet life-changing. God wants something more than retribution. He desires something more than getting paid back for the disrespect shown him. God wants fellowship with us, and he's willingly put his own system of justice on hold while he made final provisions for the rescue of sinful men and women. And what was the rescue that God gave us? He gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus. Woo, what a mighty God we serve. He gave us his son. And as we go into our last life lesson for Leviticus 16 and 29, you shall afflict your souls. Only on the Day of Atonement was the whole nation of Israel commanded to fast. Afflict your souls. Fasting helps us to focus not only on the seriousness of our sins, but even more on the treasure of God's forgiveness. God forgives us for our sinful selves. Leviticus chapter 17. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, to his sons, and to all the children of Israel, and say to them, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, whatever man of the house of Israel who kills an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or who kills it outside the camp, and does not bring it to the door of the tabernacle of meeting to offer an offering to the Lord before the tabernacle, the Lord of the Lord, the guilt of bloodshed shall be imputed to that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, that they may bring them to the Lord at the door of the tabernacle meeting, to the priest, and offer them as peace offering to the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle meeting, and burn the fat for a sweet aroma to the Lord. They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons, come on now, after whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. Also, you shall say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the stranger who dwells among you, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice, does not bring it to the door of the tabernacle meeting to offer it to the Lord, that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you, who eats any blood, come on now, talking about it, you know, them rare pieces of meat, you got to be careful. You know, because the word of God says, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. And he said, don't eat blood. I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. Because we understand that blood is life. And there are sometimes when you eat bloody meat, you may be eating parasites. You may be eating something that's in that blood that can affect you, that can even kill you. We have to be careful what we eat and how we eat it. He says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's what God gave us. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. But it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Whatever man, children of Israel, or of the strangers who dwells among you, who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of the flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. And every person who eats will die naturally, or what was torn by beasts, whether he is a native of your own country or a stranger. He shall both wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Then he shall be clean. But if he does not wash them or bathe his body, then he shall bear his guilt. Wow. And as we go back to a couple of life lessons from this Leviticus 17 and 11 word, it says, they shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons. To serve and worship other gods is described as spiritual adultery, a detestable unfaithfulness both then and now. As adultery rouses an offended spouse's wrath, so idolatry rouses the anger of God. We cannot worship people, places, or things. It is one God, and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is in charge of everything, and we've got to remember to honor him, to give him honor, to give him the glory. Hallelujah. And it says in Leviticus 17 and 11, it is the blood that makes atonement for the sin. As we sing the song, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows through the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. That is the blood of Jesus, our Savior. Blood was sacred since it stood for the life of human beings made in God's image. So Christ's blood has to be shed for the salvation of the world. And if you need scripture, it's in Romans 3 and 25. Romans 5 and 9, Ephesians 1 and 7, and Hebrews 9 and 22. Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you to read chapter 18, 19, and 20 of Leviticus. Welcome to Old Testament Friday, family.
Amen. Good morning, people of God. I'm going in chapter 18. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwell, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinance. You shall observe my judgments, keep my ordinance, to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach anyone who is near or kin to him to uncover his nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, you should not uncover. She's your mother. You should not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife, you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. Nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for theirs is their own nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten by your father, she's your sister. You should not uncover her nakedness. You should not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is near kin to your father. You should not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is near kin to your mother. You should not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You should not approach his wife. She's your aunt. You should not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You should not uncover her nakedness. You should not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You should not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are near kin to her. It's a witness. Nor shall you take a woman as a rival to her sister to uncover her nakedness while the other is alive. Also, you should not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her customary impurity. She's on a period. Moreover, you shall not lie cornerly with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. You shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is abomination. He's saying anything two men do, it's abomination. Anything two women do, God is telling you in the word, it's an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before animals to mate with it. It's perversion. You don't mate with animals. A man don't mate a man with a man. It's an abomination to God. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all of the nations, the nations are defiled, which I'm casting out before you, for the land is defiled. Therefore, I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, land vomits out its inhabitants. You should therefore keep my statutes and my judgment and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the person who commits them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinance so that you do not commit any of these abomination customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourself by them. I am the Lord, your God. I am the Lord, your God. And I'm going into, I am the Lord, your God. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you should be holy, for I am the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourself molded gods. I am the Lord your God. And if you offer a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. It should be eaten the same day you offer it and on the next day. And if any remains until the third day, it should be burned in the fire. And if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination. It should not be accepted. Therefore, everyone who eats it should bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed offering of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people. When you reap the harvest of your land, you should not woefully reap the corners of the field, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. You should not glean your vine, your vineyards, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You should leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You should not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another, and you should not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You should not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You should not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You should do no justice in judgment. You should not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, nor the mighty in righteousness. You shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go out about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You should not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor, nor bear sin because of him. You should not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And if you don't love yourself, you cannot love your neighbor. You should keep my statutes. You should not let your livestock breed with another kind. You should not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. Whoever lies cornerly with a woman who is betrothed to a man as a concubine, and who has not at all been redeemed, nor given her freedom, for this there shall be scourging, but they shall not be put to death, because she was not free. He should bring his trespass offering to the Lord to build the tabernacle of meeting, a ram as a trespass offering. Priest should make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he has committed. And the sin which he has committed shall be forgiven him. When you come into the land and planted all kinds of trees for food, then you should count their fruit as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be uncircumcised to you. It should not be eaten. But in the fourth year, all the fruit shall be holy, a praise to the Lord. And in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit, that it may yield to you its increase. I am the Lord your God. You should not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You should not share around the sides. You should not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You should not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. God said he don't want people putting tattoos on the body. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry, land become full of wickedness. You should keep my Sabbath, reverence my circus, my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Give no guard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. If a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, and honest ephod, and honest hem. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Arise, again you shall say to the children of Israel, Whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel who gives any of his descendants to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people, because he have given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary, profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Molech, and they do not kill him, then I'll set my face against that man, against his family. I'll cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech. Person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prosecute, to persecute himself with them, I'll set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourself, therefore, be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You should keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He have cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be put to death. The man who lies with his father's wife have uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with the male, if he lies with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. You know, we don't do it in this generation, but maybe we should go on back to the Old Testament, because men is lying with men and women are lying with women, and that's an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man marries a woman and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire, both he and they, that there may be no wickedness among you. If a man mates with an animal, and he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approach any animal, mates with it, you should kill the woman and the animal. And God said the very intent of a man's heart is evil. You should kill the woman and the animal. They should surely be put to death. Their blood is on them. If a man takes his sister, his father's daughter, his mother's daughter, sees her nakedness and she sees his nakedness, it's a wicked thing. They should be cut off in the sight of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He should bear his guilt. If a man lies with a woman during her sickness and uncover her nakedness, and talking about lying with a woman when she's on her menstrual period, he has exposed her flow and she has uncovered the flow of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from their people. You should not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sisters, nor of your father's sisters, but that would uncover his near kin. They should bear the guilt. If a man lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They should bear their sin. They should die childless. If a man take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. he has uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all of my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I'm bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. You shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I'm casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the people. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. You shall not make for yourself an abomination by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. You shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, am holy, have separated you from the people, that you should be mine. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has a familiar spirit shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Boy, that's amazing. That is truly amazing. I'm going to read a life lesson, Leviticus 20:26. You shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, am holy, have separated you from the people, that you should be mine. It is both a great privilege and an enormous responsibility to belong to the Lord. We cannot have an intimate relationship with God without reflecting his holiness, and intimacy with him is our highest calling. Wow. Leviticus 19:32. You shall honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. God connects fear of the Lord with honoring the elderly. Those who disrespect the age, in fact, they slander the Lord. Leviticus 19:10. You should not glean your vineyard. You should leave them for the poor and the stranger. God has a special concern for the poor and the disadvantaged. He always said the poor would be with you always. And the disadvantaged and his people are to share his concern for them. The more we become like God, the more we share his concern. So, you know, think about the poor people. Give to the poor people. Honor the poor. Honor the old people. God has a set rule for everything that we do on this earth. And if we follow God, we're doing good. God is a good God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor. Pastor Bridget.
Amen, amen. And there's one more life lesson from chapter 18, and it says, you shall observe my judgment and keep my ordinance to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. And our title today, Lord your God, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. We are to be a distinct people who follow the ways of God rather than the ways of the ungodly. When we allow Jesus to live his life through us, we live in the holy way God requires. And before we get out of here, we have about 2 minutes. It doesn't look like anyone else has put their hands up to speak, but we have a first of our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And the word is this. Good morning. God never sends you into a situation alone. God goes before you. He stands beside you. He walks behind you. Whatever situation you have right now, be confident. God is with you. Have a fantastic Friday, family. And as we say our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' name. We pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. If you are in Springfield, Illinois, in need of food, there is a food pantry going on today at the Table of Life Ministries, 2600 South 5th Street, starting at 4 o'clock.
to 6 o'clock. Again, Food Pantry at Table of Life today, starting at 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You can go and get a box of food for your family for this week. So please go to the table if you need some food today. Again, 4 o'clock p.m., 2600 South Fifth Street. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is Mother Valerie. What is it? I do believe it is a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Thank you, Rita. It's a wrap. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Because why? I got to go to work. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed that God has continued to give me the energy in my body and everything I need, limbs to walk and a mind to think. Hallelujah. Tell God thank you. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.